Mr. Ivey, explain to me what federal land ownership you're opposed to specifically.
Well, when you say what federal land ownership, you look back and the important question, Sally, is why does the federal government control more than 50% of the land in the western United States and less than 5% of the land in all the states east of Montana? It's really fascinating that the public land question started back in 1780 in the middle of the Revolutionary War and as a means of resolving the funding issues in the war, the states ceded land to the federal government. And the federal government promised, it wasn't even the federal government then, but through other acts, the federal government promised all states that it would dispose of, transfer title to its lands, its statehood. And Montana's promise in their enabling act, and Utah and all the other western states, is word for word the same as the states east of Montana for them to dispose of the land, and they simply haven't. And so the question we're asking, and in time for a new conversation on the transfer of public land, is why the difference when there's more than $150 trillion in mineral value locked up in the federally controlled lands and the forest issues that you know so well there under federal management? Fires are raging out of control and killing millions of animals and devastating watershed for generations.
There are, as you know, many people who disagree with your legal interpretation of the state enabling acts. In terms of specifically what federal public land do you think should go to the states is my original question.
Well, in terms of what land, constitutionally, legally, they should transfer all the land. Now, in Utah, we've made the decision as a legislative body to exempt national parks, congressionally designated wilderness, and most national monuments, the only exclusion being the Escalante.
And why? Why exempt national parks, for example?
Well, we did that as a legislative decision. After 117 years, they've developed a character of their own. And as long as the federal government is able and willing to operate and maintain them as national parks, that as a legislative body, we've made the decision to keep that in that character.
But why would you think it's okay for the federal government to manage national parks but not manage, for example, national forests? I'm trying to get your distinction there.
Well, again, that was a decision made by the legislature. Which
is that one you agree with?
I don't know that I want to say reluctantly. For the present, yes. We've developed a character of national parks and a worldwide attention to national parks. Now, in the national forests, to the question that you asked, federal forest policies are devastating the forest. They're destroying habitat and watershed and wildlife through arbitrary federal policies that don't allow harvesting on almost any of the forest lands. I think one of the best analogies came from a county commissioner in Idaho, and he said, you know, if you think about having a pen that would hold 50 head of cattle, and instead of putting 50 head in there, you put 1,000, and you leave a 55-gallon drum of water and just walk away. Well, anyone that knows anything about those living organisms knows that they're going to get sick and they're going to die in those conditions. Well, in our forest conditions, we've got policies now that, you know, no fault of the forest managers on the ground, but the policies that go back to Washington and the litigation and the regulations and conditions end up with the result that we're not harvesting any of those trees. And you've got hundreds and up to thousands of trees to an acre, where in western forests, often the sustaining capacity of the forest is somewhere between 50 and 100 trees to an acre.
Is it fair to characterize, Mr. Ivey, your argument that you want the federal public land to be given to the states so that they can be more developed, that there can be, for example, timber and mining development that isn't going on now? Is that your primary reason?
Well, no, there's a lot of reasons. You look at better funding education, better caring for the environment, and growing local and national economies.
Would you, Mr. Ivey, if the state did own lands that are now owned by the federal government, would you want the state to preserve any of that land for uses that did not lean toward development?
Yeah, of course. In fact, we've already done that. In Utah, again, as a legislature, we took off the table the lands that are already designated as national parks and congressionally designated wilderness and all of the national monuments except for one. And we're already looking at other state wilderness bills. And then beyond that, we look at multiple use with sustained yield and local planning, so that it's not an and-or proposition. You have areas that would be primarily energy development or resource development, timber development areas. You have a large variety of other areas that are recreation areas, but to have it be an either-or simply disregards the realities on the ground. The fundamental question is, do we believe in the right to govern ourselves at the local level, or do we not?
In terms of governing at the local level versus not, it sounds like you don't think there should be any federal governing.
That's what our nation was founded upon in terms of land, right? The Constitution delegated very specific things to the federal government, coining the money and war and commerce with foreign nations and that sort of thing. But the notion of property and the local control of property and those were foundational principles upon which our nation was based. And so when you look at that governing principle, that was the whole underlying basis for why there was a revolution with Great Britain. The king was coming in and saying, oh, those forests are mine, and those trees are mine, and that land is mine. And they knew that without the right and control of property, which is the essence of liberty, which is the whole purpose of life, they needed to alter that question. And that was the very foundation of our nation. Well, now, when more than one-third of the total land mass in our nation is federally controlled, John Kenneth Galbraith, world-renowned economist, made a statement. He said, where socialized ownership of land is concerned, only the USSR and China can claim company with the United States of America.
The courts don't agree with you to this point, Mr. Ivory, and there are those who say that your effort is going to be an expensive losing battle.
That's a pretty bold statement. Where do the courts not agree with us, Sally?
Well, where have they upheld? The law passed by the Utah legislature has not gone into effect and is not likely to.
No, the law is in effect.
Well, not in terms of state ownership of federal lands currently.
Right, and so we've set a date to coordinate with our federal governing partner on the transfer of the land. There's certainly nothing unconstitutional with...
Do you think that's actually going to happen next year, that Utah is going to get the federal land that you now have in federal ownership?
Well, we're certainly working towards that, and the federal government can choose to do what it's going to do, and then the state of Utah, along with five other states that are moving in the similar direction, will decide what we're going to do. But this blanket statement that somehow it's unconstitutional or the courts are opposed, I would encourage you to go actually look at the issues. The Federalist Society is an organization of 40,000 constitutionally focused lawyers, scholars, and professors. They've done a full legal analysis of what we've done, and they conclude that it's legally, historically, and constitutionally based, that the federal government has a duty to dispose of the land, and that Congress does not have the right or the authority to unilaterally change the vested rights of our statehood, particularly where public lands are at stake. But there's a lot of work to do, Sally. So what we're doing now in Utah is a lot of the logistics and analysis, the economic analysis, the logistical analysis of working to transition out of 100 years where the federal government has not kept the same promise with our states that it kept with all states east of Montana.
I have been speaking with Utah Representative Ken Ivory, who's also the CEO of the American Lands Council. Mr. Ivory, thank you for your time.
My pleasure. Thank you, Shelley.